What's up, everyone, and welcome to Good Morning on Purpose, a daily podcast that aims to evoke a sense of possibility or positivity in your day. While the thoughts in this podcast will vary wildly, I can promise to meet you with a friendly greeting, my thoughts, feelings, or research for that day, and all of this culminates in how you might make it a good morning on purpose. Now, I believe that one of the most powerful influences in our lives is our perspective, and from those perspectives spring endless possibilities. And so, with that in mind, and without further ado, from me to you, good morning. Today, I feel fantastic. And honestly, I have, at the beginning of pretty much every day, for the last few days. It's how you start your day really does make a huge difference. Even if it only lasts for an hour or two, this is the vibe. Like, why can't it just feel like this all the time? Just no stress, going about whatever I have to go about. Excited and ready. This is just such a good feeling. I'm happy to be sharing it with you, doing this. One thing I'm attributing to my good starts to the day lately, besides these perspectives and trying to be intentional about it, is the tea I've been drinking in the morning. I try to drink a cold cup of water first, and then I brew a pot of tea. This is loose green tea that some really, really dear friends of mine sent from Japan a while back, and I hadn't opened it, and I finally have. I pour the tea directly into the teapot, have some water boil, let it sit for a moment, pour the water in, let that steep for a minute or two, and I'll drink my first cup. And then I'll just reuse the tea because I'm pretty sure I'm using way too much to make a second cup. Sometimes a third, but that third cup definitely seems to get a little weaker, and I like my tea kind of strong. I started drinking coffee not too long ago, and that's been good. I was kind of a caffeine fiend when I was younger. Starting in high school, I was drinking energy drinks, and of course that carried on into college. Pre-workout for exercise so I could get my mad gains or whatever. But the tea has been great. It feels like it's caffeine plus just something extra. I'm also adding some honey that I got on a trip to the tea every once in a while. I'll drink my first cup plain and then I'll add this vanilla bean honey, which just changes the flavor and it's nice. And it's better than sugar and stuff that I would also be adding to my coffee, because I'm not quite a black coffee drinker yet. Anyway, the mood has been great, but it's loose tea, and I spilled some of it, got crinkled up, and it ended up on the floor. Super sad, because I don't know if this is super expensive or special tea. It's special to me. It was sent from out of the country, so it means a lot. So I pulled out a hand vacuum to vacuum up some of the dried tea leaves and everything off the floor. And so, of course, I had a moment where I had to look into the history of vacuums. Before electric vacuums, cleaning machines were either bellows, which would suck in or blow air to move dirt. And in 1901, a guy with an awesome name, Hubert Cecil Booth, thought that maybe sucking up dust through a filter would be a little more effective. So he created a giant gasoline-powered contraption mounted on a horse-drawn cart. And reportedly, this is the first device to be called a vacuum cleaner. The word vacuum comes from the Latin word vacus, or vacus, to use, according to Google AI search, which means empty or void. And of course, there's no void inside of this machine, but describing this process as a vacuum was a memorable way to explain how the suction process worked. I've been thinking a lot about the sky and space, and I, of course, as I finished up, just imagined having this hand vacuum out in space, and it's just sucking up particles, and that's why so much of space is a void and is empty, because there's a hand vacuum that keeps it clean. Anyway, lately I've been thinking about the concept of nothing. Can there be pure nothingness? Even metaphorically, when someone asks what you're up to, and you're like, oh, nothing, you're doing something. You're not just sitting and staring at a wall, or maybe you are, but even if you are, you're doing something. There's some brain activity going. Your physical body is in a place doing a thing. Or when we're in a dark place in life, and we say we feel empty, and we don't feel things, or we're struggling to connect to our emotions. or when we look into a space for a particular thing, or we're staring out into open air, and there's, quote, nothing there. There's something there, we just can't necessarily see it. Where does nothing exist? In a vacuum or a void? And as I went to look into this, I found that this isn't always necessarily true either. In quantum field theory, there's this thing called a quantum vacuum, which is the lowest possible energy state of a quantum field. So unlike a classic vacuum, it's not a void, it's not this featureless emptiness with no particles in it. It's a space that has fleeting electromagnetic waves and virtual particle-antiparticle pairs that appear and disappear. The baseline energy in a quantum vacuum has something called zero-point energy. Even at the coldest possible temperatures and in the absolute absence of any particles. Within this space, these little particles and then their corresponding antiparticles will just pop into existence before quickly annihilating each other. They appear for such a brief period of time that they somehow don't violate the law of conservation of energy. The spontaneous appearance and disappearance of these particles is known as a quantum fluctuation. And this fluctuation means that a quantum vacuum isn't a stable, quiet, empty space, but it's a frothing and effervescent state. So you might be thinking, why do I care? Why does this matter? This just sounds like science and math mumbo jumbo. Well, first of all, I think it's really interesting that a particle can just appear literally in a spot of nothingness, out of nowhere, and then magically disappear in the briefest blink of a second. But if we want to move past that, we can look at how we've measured this. There's something called the Casimir effect, where you have two uncharged parallel metal plates in a vacuum that experience an attractive force, even though there shouldn't be any force acting between them. This effect was theoretically predicted by Hendrik B.G. Casimir in 1948. But confirmation was really challenging at the time because the effect is really weak, and they only happen at really small distances for extremely small periods of time. A direct measurement was achieved by Stephen K. Lamoureux, who was able to measure this force, and later experiments refined the measurements and confirmed this theory. There's even a review that I hope to read called The Casimir Force Between Real Materials, Experiment and Theory, which explains a lot of the history and the experimentation that's been done and what this all means. But I haven't read that yet, so bear with me. So anyway, why does this all matter? Well, the universe is made up of fields, and each fundamental particle, like an electron, or a quark, or a photon, has a field. And everyday objects are made up of particles, so our atoms and our molecules are made up of particles. They're made up of protons and neutrons and electrons, which are all excitations of their quantum fields. So essentially, every single object in the universe is a complex configuration of interacting quantum fields. I kind of can't believe I'm saying this because I've heard this in so many different ways and I always thought it sounded a little ridiculous, but we're all made up of energy. We're all made up of these fields. We're made up of particles, but there are these things called antiparticles, antimatter, that exists in the universe. Apparently all of this antimatter, most of it in the universe, disappeared at some point. But if your particles met your antiparticle, that particle would cease to exist. It would explode in a burst of gamma energy, which would still be something, right? It would be energy. And the conclusion I've come to, based on all of this, is that there is no such thing as nothing. You, as a person, can't be nothing, and you can't necessarily be doing nothing. We are all part of something. We're all made of something. We're all doing something. Even within nothing, even in a vacuum, something is happening. Even in silence or periods of quiet, in the slow moments of your life, in times of contemplation or grief or depression, energy is bubbling and flickering, appearing and disappearing, and balancing itself. In the space between what is and isn't, both in our physical world and, I have to believe, in the metaphor of our experience in life, something appears and has this brief dance before it disappears again. Something unexpected, beyond anything you can imagine, might appear in the blink of an eye, seemingly from nowhere. And even if it lasts a fraction of a second, that thing has a role to play. So as you go about your day, wherever you are, Remember that anything can happen. Whatever you're shooting or hoping for, whatever you are living for, or if you're uncertain about those things, take heart in the idea that nothingness doesn't exist, even when it seems like we're staring into a void. From this perspective, everything has meaning. And from that perspective, we can get up every single day, knowing that it'll be a good morning on purpose. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll catch you in the next episode. The music today was by Scott Buckley, and you can find more information about the tracks that I used in the show notes. I'll also include a link to this article that I skimmed through a tiny bit, but didn't really fully get to. It feels weird to include a link to a 54-page paper that I haven't read yet, but hopefully that's fine. I guess I'll just edit this in post if it ends up being a problem in any way. But if anyone wants to read 54 pages of physics nerddom, that is there for you to explore. I don't exactly know how long it's been since I released an episode, or if this is even going to get posted, but if it is out there and anyone's listening to this and the previous few episodes I've made about space and whatnot, I appreciate you for hanging in there. Sometimes I kind of wonder if there's any point to doing this project, to like doing these deep dives and recording these episodes, and if I'm like wasting my time, but that's all about perspective. So, there's no such thing as nothing. Thank you again, and I'll catch you soon. And hey there, editor's note. This is from quite a while ago, but obviously we are putting it out there. It really is true that something that you do on a random day, or something that really doesn't feel like it means anything, has got to mean something to somebody somewhere at some point. So, with that energy, thank you once more for listening, and I'll catch you in the next episode.